Hello and welcome to the Germany Medicine Stories podcast. May listening bring liberation and lightness to your healing journey. Please note that nothing that I or any of my guests say here is or should be misinterpreted as medical information or advice. These are personal stories, not prescriptions. Okay, so today is just me again, and I'm finally going to be sharing what is a very precious story to me. Of how my chronic pain is gone. It's been several months now since it's like fully been resolved, and I still, you know, like in those moments where I'm lying in bed before I go to sleep at night, I'm just like, wow, I don't feel any pain right now. It's amazing. Yeah, so I don't know how many months I'll still be like so aware of being in a pain-free body, and when it will just be my normal. But anyways, for right now, it's still so just so relieving, so wonderful. And it's such a fun story, and it's a long one also, because there are many stories within it, because it's not just one particular conflict shock. There were many sort of overlapping things going on. And I'm going to share in quite a lot of detail, so that, hopefully just gives a better idea of at least what my own personal process has been. Kind of the thing that everyone's always asking is like, okay, I know the five biological laws, this makes sense to me. But how the fuck do you actually resolve symptoms? I'd wrestled with that same question for a long time before everything just like really clicked for me in October of last year. And so hopefully this can help things click for you. So, I really remember having chronic pain, or like being uncomfortable, deeply uncomfortable in my body from a young age, like early high school, fidgety at school, because I was really uncomfortable all the time in my body. And it wasn't until like quite a few years later where I actually realized like, oh, this isn't, just what it means. This is not just inherently the human experience, you know, that there's something else going on. And I'm going to spare you, you know, the many, many years of everything that I tried, and, you know, all the changes that I made in my life and all the practitioners I've seen and blah, blah. I'm not going to get into all of that. I'm just going to start maybe around, September of last year. So, you know, I had known about GNM for probably 2 years at that point. And, you know, had studied like so many of the special biological programs, including the muscles to some extent, but self-devaluation conflicts, but not really. And it's like funny, you know, things just don't really occur to you, because I think it has been so ingrained in us that like, you know, specifically kind of like musculoskeletal pain, like it comes from injury, or it comes from posture, comes from how you move, you know, that I just, you know, even though we also have the idea of like the issue is in the tissues, you know, and that's often kind of talked about in like a vague way. And I really had not considered deeply that my chronic pain could actually be the result of what turned out to be multiple self-devaluation conflicts. I think September, October, I was like, oh, maybe like maybe that is actually what's going on. And I think at the time I had talked about it with Melissa once, and you know, had shared that, like, when I first met Matthew, like maybe like less than a week into knowing him, for probably about a period of a month, like I had no pain. I felt like amazing. And I think that was the first time where I was like, oh, right. Like, you know, I'm in chronic pain, but it's not all the time. And, you know, this becomes really important when you're trying to unravel stuff using the five biological laws, is like, when do things flare up, and when are they a little bit less? When are they completely gone away? You know, all of these things give you insight as to, especially if it's chronic, like when you are stepping on a track and when you aren't. For me, when I first met Matthew, you know, I was just like so blasted open in love and like, everything is amazing and nothing could ever possibly be bad ever. And I just like wasn't stepping on any of my tracks. Which is, yeah, just so fascinating and beautiful. And anyways, but then slowly, you know, as those kind of like first initial like cocoon of early love, like as that, you know, as I came back to my, in, you know, to a different extent and with more awareness to my, you know, more ingrained patterns of thinking and relating to the world, then the pain sort of came back in. And it also actually, the reason I was like, all right, I kind of inspired in September to like look at it from the GNM perspective, because it got actually really, really bad when we moved to Salt Spring and started the nature school. And I know why now, and I'll tell you later on in the story. Hopefully I'll remember to loop back as to what the track was that I was stepping on in September that was just like really causing like a lot of pain, where I was kind of like, I was crying a lot about it and just like very grumpy and yeah. Anyway, so I was like self-evaluation, and I'm, you know, looking at the map of what the like localized, like the specific self-evaluation conflicts were localized to the areas where I experienced the most pain. So the most like excruciating pain that I've had, and the one that I've like focused most on addressing for over many, many, many years, is my right shoulder blade, like behind my shoulder blade. It basically feels like, it doesn't anymore, but felt like my shoulder blade was like being ripped off of my off my back, basically. And sometimes, interesting, I would actually, I think, kind of, I like have this image of like a knife like in my back, or like a rod or something like this, and just like dream of it falling out one day. And it did, because the first thing that happened was that I hadn't worked for many, many years with body workers, because I had just spent so much money and they weren't actually like resolving anything. You know, I'd feel better, but it was not sustainable. And yeah, but then I did see two people in August and September, and one of them, this man that I was working with, you know, very, very brilliant, just so skilled. And I definitely haven't worked with someone who like could read what was going on in my body in the particular way that he did, which was such a gift, because we did like, I don't know, 20 hours of body work in like 3 weeks or something. I was really going for it. But really that the all of it was totally worth it because of like one sentence that he said to me. He said it actually quite a few times, but he was like, you know, it's really, so he really works with fascia. He was like, it's kind of weird, like the right side of your body, which is where all of my pain has been, the right side of your body, it's like you literally have thick skin. And that really stuck with me when he said that, because, you know, when you start studying German New Medicine, it becomes pretty clear that like a lot of the sayings that we have are actually describing, you know, special biological programs. So for example, like an indigestible morsel conflict will very often say that like a situation, we just couldn't stomach it. You know, it was too much. to digest. And so when he said, it's like, you literally have thick skin. I was like, well, it immediately flagged in my mind. And just thinking also of like how many people, it's like, well, yeah, like I have also like emotional, mental thick skin as well. Like, this is how I like can do what I do in the world. And everyone always is always telling me, and I've been told from a young age, you know, like that I'm very, very strong and I have this thick skin and blah, blah, blah. So it really, that moment stayed with me, which is important. And then sort of part of this process of just deep, like, I cannot do this anymore. Like, how is this still happening? I have done fucking everything to resolve this pain and nothing is still working. Nothing is actually working. And so I decided to buy a Healy, which is a frequency healing device. And, you know, the first few days, kind of like not really feeling anything. And then I was like, oh, I should stop deciding willy-nilly doing random programs. Like, I know that my issue, at least one of them, is connective tissue related. So I was running for like 3 days in a row. I ran the connective tissue program. And I started like every night. I was, for about a week, then I was having like pretty repetitive, like intense dreams about like people from my high school. And so I'm like awake in the night, just like processing these intense dreams, like, what the fuck, what does this all mean? And then I had two kind of specific memories come to me, and it just like everything basically clicked in an instant of like, oh my God, these two memories are the original conflict shocks of a big portion of my chronic pain. So one of them was with sort of three boys that I like, it was kind of this image of being in one of the hallways of my school, and I was like 13 years old, and three boys who I was like very close friends with. We were in this like sort of excelled math class, and I have no idea what was said, what the conversation was, but this would have been a pretty common dynamic, you know, of like when you're like the very intelligent girl in a group and strong and feisty, you know, girl in like a group of male friends, there's kind of like this need, like male need to assert dominance or whatever. Anyway, so there was a lot of kind of like me being made fun of in a certain way. And anyways, I have this particular memory of like being in the hallway with all three of them, and I don't know what they said, but I had a mild, because it was the connective tissue, right? So the connective tissue, muscles, bone, like these are all sort of like different intensities of self-devaluation. So connective tissue is a mild self-devaluation conflict. And what clicked for me was that sometimes they would literally, I think, like actually kind of like poke me in the ribs. But, you know, we have this saying of like, when you rib somebody, you know, being ribbed by somebody, being made fun of by somebody. And I think, again, it's like important to pay attention to these things. And so I, for me in that moment, it was like purely just the awareness of the moment, because I don't give a shit what any of those boys think about me anymore. And so like the conflict is completely irrelevant to me now. So like, as soon as I, it came to my conscious awareness, it was just like, oh my God. it resolved, and it was wild because I didn't really understand what my body worker was saying until after my thick skin resolved, because I couldn't actually feel my rib bones before. Like, and I didn't know what I was missing out on exactly, but like my rib bones were, you know, covered in like such a thick layer of fascia that it all just like in that instant in the middle of the night, like melted away. And like now I can actually feel my bones on my ribs. So that was one of the moments. And it was, you know, sort of like piecing,
like all these different things sort of like coalesce together in this moment of awareness. And that is kind of like often how it seems to work, you know, is like, it's multiple sort of serendipitous things that happen at once where all of a sudden you just see it and it's like, oh my God, amazing. And so then the other memory that I had, and so, you know, and all these voices were coming up in the dream and in the dreams that I was having repetitively and sort of the particular, feelings that were coming up in them. And so the second memory was with my first love, who was going to be a pretty constant theme in all of these stories going forward. Anyways, quite a complex, as I'll get into in a little bit, like relationship dynamic from this age of like being 13 onwards. And the memory that came to me was like going to this party. I couldn't tell you when it was. I was in grade 8. I think I was 13. And like going to the party, and it's just like one moment in time of like, I don't know who told me, but basically I went to the party. We had had some class earlier together that day. I think we had band class together or something. And we'd often, there was like this room above band class, and we'd often kind of like go up there and do our, do our sort of, you know, secret, have our little like secret relationship thing going on. And I think he must have said something. Both of us knew we're going to the party in the evening, and there must have been like some communication between us where I was under the impression that we would be, you know, like going to make out at this party later on in the evening. And then I get to the party, and I don't know, somebody must have told me or something, that he was actually like, by the time I got to the party, he was making out with this other girl at the party. And, you know, this is such like 13-year-old drama, but this was the conflict shock, right? Like I was caught completely off guard. A very emotionally intense experience. And I was also very emotionally isolated in it, because like not a soul knew about this dynamic between him and I. Like it wasn't like I was going to go home and cry about it to all my girlfriends or at the party. Like, it was completely experienced like only within me, and I felt like I couldn't share with anybody. And the conflict, you know, on Dr. Homer's map for where I have the shoulder pain, the shoulder blade pain, is a stab. It's a self-devaluation conflict with the particular nuance of a stab in the back betrayal conflict. Okay, so that's exactly what happened at that moment. Is I felt, you know, betrayed by him. And there's many ways in which one could experience betrayal. You know, indigestible anger, for example. But for me, I experienced it as devaluation, as like I am not good enough, basically. And so, yeah, that was the conflict shock that was the beginning of the sort of most intense aspect of my chronic pain. And so that one was like, was not as instantaneous. Like immediately the awareness of it downgraded the pain. And I don't know, what did I do? I think I did some journaling some writing about it, just some thinking about it. Oh, this is a thing that really helps me, has helped me a few times, and it's like something that might help some of you. And I know I did this then. It just like came to me as an idea, you don't know, like the word, because when I first was reading the map, like, oh, okay, this part of my shoulder is betrayal, it's stab in the back. I mean, this memory didn't come to me because I was like, well, this was not like some big trauma that I'm carrying with me in my life. Like I had just never thought about this as a grown woman at all. And when I was when I first found GNM and was looking at it, it's like, I don't feel betrayal in my life currently. I don't feel stabbed in the back in my life currently. And so when I remember this experience with him, I then went and I was like, betrayal, like even the word betrayal, like that's just not a word that I really would use. So then I just like, you know, put in the thesaurus, like betrayal, and just spent a lot of time, like whatever, all the other words that came up, like thinking about and pondering about like betrayal and stab in the back. Because the thing about this is it's so unique to each of our perceptions, and the particular flavor, like there's so many ways to experience betrayal. There's so many ways to experience self-devaluation in relation to betrayal. And I had to like really touch very specifically on what it was for me. And so it, pretty much I would say, like, let's say the pain was at 100, like I want to say 80 to 90% went away kind of within the few days of just like of having that memory come back and just spending a lot of time, you know, like just feeling the feelings that I didn't feel when I was like 13. And really like holding space and like letting that go. And there's a lot more, like compared to, for example, the previous story that I'm telling you about those three boys, like I just didn't give a shit about that. Like that was just so easy to let go. But there was a lot, like, because that with my first love, like that continued to transpire over many, many years. There was just a lot more wrapped up there for me to unravel. And so most of it went away, basically right away with the conscious awareness. And then I probably fast forward a few months, I touched another layer of it. I was in a doing a workshop, sort of adjacent to GNM, and my teacher Gilbert, one of the things that you know, just like watching him work with so many people, one of the things he always like, he's quite, and I realize now very intentionally so, abrasive is not the word, what's the word, just like not PC, confrontational, just kind of like so the thing that I've often heard him say, you know, when someone's like, you know, he's kind of probing, he's trying to find, you know, what is the conflict shock, and someone's like, oh, this person, that person, and then he'll be like, who's the bitch, like who is the bitch in the situation here, and you know what he means by that is like when we are going, and this is what I realized in relation to this experience of the betrayal conflict shock, is like, it's so important when you find what the DHS is, what the conflict shock is, to name and to speak the particular like flavors of that experience as much as you can, like not distorted through your current lens or what you think you should have felt in the moment, or what an evolved person would think in the moment, what a good person would think in that moment. Like you have to touch on the raw truth of the moment. And and so what I realized in kind of reflecting on that in that workshop, I was like, oh, I think that one of the like raw truths of that moment was like this real, and what I also realized in that workshop was how I actually, there was quite a pattern of that particular feeling in my childhood of like self-devaluation and betrayal in relationship to towards my female friends. And so there was a layer of that self-betrayal at that party that was like not mad at him, but that was actually felt betrayed by the girl, not by him. And just was like angry at, and the self-evaluation was almost in relation to her. So for example, like I remember like my very first ever crush, which was, I mean, I would be so young because I was in the UK still. I was like, must have been 5 years old, 4 years old. I was like, I think this is a daycare. And there was this boy, his name is Alistair, I'm pretty sure. And my best friend, I think her name was Sarah. Anyway, so we both had a crush on this, on the, you know, childhood, like tiny baby crushes, on this boy. And I remember like finding that out and being so like upset about it and biting her. Okay, so I have this memory. And then I have a few more of like kind of early elementary school times. And I think a memory that's also related to it is I had one of a different sort of childhood male best friend. One time he said to me about me and my female best friend, he said, we were in grade 5 or something like that. He's like, I just wish that I could have, I could be with a girl who had your intellect and her body, which is like such a fucked thing to say, you know, whatever, you see with a little boy, forgive him. But you know, to hear that for me as a girl, right? Like, so all these things I'm mentioning because they set me up, like we're setting the stage for the way that I perceived the conflict shock of betrayal. And I had to kind of like keep touching on my specific self-evaluation in relation to that moment. And so I had kind of another like, okay, it's almost gone. It's almost completely gone. And then it completely went away maybe a few months later when I actually met, well, you know, at this point, no longer a boy, very much a grown man. And we had lunch, and it was so funny because I, on the drive home, I was like, oh my God, my shoulder is fucking killing me. Like I haven't felt this intensity of pain in a long time, which, you know, makes total sense because obviously he's like a major, major threat. And yeah, it was really helpful because then I was just really, really watching my thoughts, and it allowed me just to touch on like the deepest thing in that moment. Of when I was like 13 years old, and which was just this like deep grief of like, and self-devaluation of like, why not me? You know, like, why am I not enough? And so, yeah, it was that awareness from that day forward. I, just not zero of that, you know, really excruciating shoulder ripping pain at all. So yeah, okay, so hopefully that made sense. So those were two really big realizations. So the next one that happened was, I don't know when this was, 2-3 months ago. By this point I had already dropped out of the like nature awareness school that Matthew and I were doing, but he was still in it at that point. And he had like an overnight rite of passage that he was doing. And I went, like he'd been there for a few days preparing. And then I went to the kind of like send-off ceremony. And, you know, I hadn't been interacting with this group of people for several months by this point. So I went to the send-off ceremony. It was great. It was beautiful. And then on the drive home, I was like, what the fuck? Like my kind of lower right ribs are killing me. Like, what the fuck? I haven't felt this pain since September when I first started the school. what track did I just step on? Like, at first I was just like, oh, poor me, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh, no, not poor me. This is an amazing opportunity for me to figure out what track I just stepped on. What was I just thinking about? What just activated me about that particular situation? And right away I was like, oh, I see what it is. And so what I now realize, so the previous story that I told you about the ribs and being ribbed, that was the pain at the level of the connective tissue. But then I would sometimes experience this deeper pain that I think was at the level of like the muscle. And that, I believe, is a different conflict that is very specifically related to self-devaluation in relationship to female friendship. So I think that the track that I stepped on when I went to that rite of passage event is like the particular sort of nature community. You know, it's very, it's mostly women for one. And it's very, like a lot of women are very affectionate in a really beautiful way. Like, you know, just very like caring and like physically affectionate with each other. And I know this about myself, like there's something about that in particular, which is so, it brings up like a lot of self-devaluation for me and a lot of, just like childhood stuff. And so then I could immediately, like, I just remember there was several like specific moments of being, you know, about 13 years old. It seems like most of my chronic pain conflict shocks happened around that age. Of being at school, and like I didn't grow up maybe in like the most affectionate physically family. Like hugging was just kind of like an uncomfortable thing for me for whatever reason. And I just remember feeling like in certain moments, like very uncomfortable at school because, you know, all these female friends, and there was just always often a lot of like, you know, hugging people, hello, on all of this. And it sounds like so funny, but anyways, for me, like those moments, I was so self-conscious, I think, of like really weird, like, am I hugging wrong? You know, like, and so feeling kind of like this self-devaluation in relationship to my like bond with female friends. And of like, you know, wanting to freely, you know, hug and like show physical affection for my friends, but at the same time feeling so like, am I doing this like wrong? Am I weird? Like just feeling weird and uncomfortable and like self-conscious about it. And so going to this rite of passage event and you know, being back with all of these women who are very affectionate, just like, I was like, oh my God, that is also why in September, when we first joined the program, that particular flavor of my chronic pain was so intense. And so, yeah, that one has been really interesting. That one pretty much has entirely gone away. This is actually the only one that I still sometimes I notice, and it only ever comes up if I've just like, if something in relationship always to friendship with women and feeling like insecure about friendship with women. And I think that it's like the ribs specifically, you know, like, you know, because if you're kind of like that symbol of like friendship bond, you know, like having your arms around each other, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, you're sort of rib to rib in that moment. So that I discovered was the deeper layer of of my ribs. And that was just a really great lesson for me of to develop a real fine awareness of when do symptoms come and go, because it's never random, right? And when I was always in pain, like that was a much more challenging thing to do. But because at that time I was really not in pain at all, it was very like, whoa, all of a sudden I'm in pain. And so I could really, with some, with taking a few moments, figure out what was different about that evening. And so this is something to definitely pay attention. It doesn't matter if it's chronic pain or if it's diarrhea or whatever it is, but like, when does it come on? Is it really all the time, or is it actually at specific moments in your cycle, when you see specific people, when you go certain places, and when do you notice that you don't experience the symptoms, and what is different about where you were, who you were with, what you were thinking about, your internal self-talk, you know? Okay. And then I have one more. This is the best part of the story. I really love this one. So now I had resolved these three different flavors of self devaluation conflicts. But I still had what I wouldn't describe as pain, but such intense tightness, largely almost entirely on the right side of my body, that it would cause pain. Like it would be extremely uncomfortable to be in my body because of the tightness. And up until that point, I had really only been considering self-devaluation conflicts. And I hadn't at all considered that there is actually one other biological conflict that affects the muscle, and it's related to the movement of muscles. And this is a motor conflict. Okay. And the motor conflict, the specific content of this type of conflict, is not being able to move and feeling stuck. And it can be, this can be generalized to the whole body or to a single muscle, it can be localized to like specific muscle fibers or a whole muscle group. And, this is what's responsible for MS or ALS or these type of biological adaptations. So I just kind of started playing around with that idea very, very loosely. Okay, do I have any motor conflicts? Because the reason actually that I was like, oh, maybe I do, is because I looked up the constellation that can occur when you have multiple motor conflicts. And as I was reading it, I was like, oh, like I totally have this. And one of the sort of behavioral adaptations of having multiple motor conflicts is like incessant fidgeting all the time, which is totally me. If you've ever like been on Zoom with me or something, you'll probably have noticed it. It's also responsible for like tics, like muscle tics, like movements. And I don't think that anyone else would really observe that I have tics, like repetitive movement. And I don't feel like I at this point after I resolve conflicts I'm about to tell you, but there kind of is like specific repetitive motion in my shoulder that now I'm like, I think I could actually kind of see that as a tic actually. So anyways, this is in my mind that there's potentially this motor conflict of not being able to move or feeling stuck in a particular acute moment in time. So then I am in Vancouver for a weekend. I am at a 3-day GNM workshop, just like having the time of my life, so much fun. And I think it was the third
morning. Yeah, maybe it was the third morning. I was awake really early, and we'd been out late before, like having a party all together. And I was awake in the morning, and I was thinking again about my very first love, who I had, you know, that original self-devaluation betrayal conflict with. Okay. And he was just on my mind because of something that I had been discussing with somebody the night before at the party, made me think of him. And then basically all of a sudden I was just like, oh my God. And in a matter of less than 60 seconds, I just saw the full picture of the motor conflicts, multiple motor conflicts that I had with him that were like all responsible for all the remaining, like for the tightness in my body, which was essentially the result of like the paralysis and the kind of this hanging situation with the motor conflict. So it's going to take me a lot more than a minute to tell you these stories, but in one moment I saw it all, and the tightness in my body, I swear to God, just like instantaneously all dissolved. And I was just like, I was just like in my bed, just like laughing to myself, like, oh my God, I can't believe this was it. Of course this was fucking it. This is so funny. And basically, like, I just had this, the realization was, it like, is that every single place of tightness in my body, it's his hands. So to give you a bit of more context to this dynamic that developed when I was like 13 years old with him was, you know, we've been friends for many years, and then kind of developed this more like intimate connection in about grade 8, was that it all occurred in secret. Okay. So like nobody knew about this. It all occurred in secret, and in secret, but also at the same time, like often very, publicly. Okay. So the first thing that maybe made the connection is because, you know, I experienced the tightness in kind of four very specific places. So one would be like my lower back, my right butt cheek, my right thigh, like extremely tight. And then between my ribs to my hip on the right side. And then also like sort of across my belly. And so what the first moment that came to me was, we had one class together in the library, enrichment class. And so in the library, there was a section where there were these couches, and we just sit beside each other on the couches. And sorry, this is TMI, but the only way to understand the story is for me to tell you this. We used to sit on the couches, and, you know, you have to know that like, this is a very public spot. Like there's people all around us. Okay. All our friends are all around us, but he used to like put his hands down my pants and semi-finger me during this class, like pretty often. And, you know, totally consensually, like I was having a great time, but because it was public, my, you know, like, sort of the thrill and enjoyment that I was experiencing, like I could show absolutely none of that externally, right? Because there are people all around us. And so he, you know, because we were on the couch and because we couldn't be seen, like and this is the moment I was like, oh my God, his hand would like, you know, would down my back, like down my lower back, down my pants, like on my tailbone. Like that's the trail that his hand would follow. And that is exactly where one of the places where I have felt this just like extreme rigidity, like frozenness, because I was literally, like there was literal paralysis, you know, in these muscles, of
of having a not being able to move conflict of like, I want to move, but I cannot move. Because otherwise everyone else is going to find out what is going on here. So that was one of the moments. And then the next memory, I was like, oh, of course. So these were probably like the first moments where we like started to have a sexual connection. I remember clearly being in like the portable school buildings, and there were these really long tables with these kind of like bench seats that were like attached to the tables. And I don't know who was sitting across from us, but we were sitting beside each other on those. This happened like repeatedly multiple times, but I'm guessing it's the first time that it happened where I had the DHS, which was he would run his hands up my right leg. I remember like so specifically my right leg. And again, same situation, like I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? Like, that's very fun and thrilling, but like, we aren't communicating about it. I cannot move at all because there's these two people across the table. And I'm like, you know, not very, you know, unable to respond authentically in the moment. And so I had another motor conflict exactly where I experienced the extreme, or was experiencing this extreme, extreme tightness on my right thigh. And then I also right away had a memory of, you know, he used to like grab my butt, you know, very frequently in all kinds of different situations. But I think the moment that was the motor conflict where I was like, oh my God, stuck, frozen, can't move, is that the hallway sort of like outside of our band class, like there were two doors on either end of that hallway. So it was like a little bit more private because there often weren't people in there. And anyways, one time it was just the two of us in there. We were standing there. He was grabbing my butt. And then I don't know who walked in, but we had these doors in the school, you know, the double doors side by side that have those kind of like bars, you know, that you like fully push, makes that click, and then they open. And I just remember like standing there, his hand on my butt, and like hearing that push click of someone slamming that door open. And in that moment, I had the motor conflict that was in relation to like to the tightness that I no longer feel, but did feel often in my right butt muscle. And then the next memory that I had was that he would often sort of like, I don't know, flirtatiously grab like kind of with his whole hand, like grab my side, like below my ribs, above my hip, grab my side. And that is just like, you know, I've had so much tightness there that I've just like never been able to explain to somebody, never had anyone been able to release. And it released in that moment of just being like, oh my God, because he used to touch me there. And then I think that the tightness that I would sometimes feel across my belly is that I also have another very explicit memory of like, this wasn't at school. We were at a friend's house, I think, of him like lying on, like his head was like lying on my stomach. And so anyways, I had all of these just like it occurred so quickly of just like I was just laughing because it was so funny to me that this was the origin of just like this chronic tightness that I've experienced in my body. It was like, you know, his hands were like still in my body in some way. And yeah, it was just extraordinary, like just walking around that day and feeling what it was like. The most like profound was feeling like I could actually untuck my pelvis. Like I had just been in such the conflict there was like, it was definitely the most intense, I would say. I mean, you know, like being like semi-fingered in public and like when you're 13 years old, like, you know, that's quite an intense motor conflict and feeling so frozen. And like what was really fascinating too is that like, okay, so one, I could all of a sudden feel my tailbone like similarly with my ribs, how I couldn't actually really feel my ribs before, I could actually feel my tailbone and my sacrum. Like I could feel the bone and like the sort of like, you know, the actual texture and feeling of the bone. And what's really cool is on the right side of it, of my sacrum, there's like a very prominent, like bump, like where the bone is like there's an obvious sort of, protrusion or growth or something right there. And, which makes total sense because I think I shared in the previous podcast about like a very chronic, hanging self-devaluation conflict that I'd had that was definitely at the level of the bone, on my sacrum. So it makes sense. If it was hanging for long enough, there was actually like this buildup of bone. So that was really cool. And then also, you know, it's so funny, like, I mean, Matthew and I have joked about this quite a lot that like, since being together, like we've both just gotten a lot hotter. and it's pretty much all been because of resolving conflicts, because I mean, I didn't know, I mean, I've never felt anyone else's butt, I guess, or another. Yeah. Anyways. And, that like my literal, like my butt was like frozen. Like, I don't know how to explain this, but like my whole, I feel like my butt has gotten bigger, but also like, just, it's like soft and supple. And like, you know, Matthew can actually like grab my full butt now, instead of it being like, I don't know how to explain, like the fact that it wasn't really possible. Like, it was possible before, but it was like almost stuck, you know, as like sort of like a solid mass, instead of like, especially at the upper section, which is where it was like frozen. So anyways, all of that, just so cool. And yeah, none of that pain has come back at all, the tightness. And you know, because so in this case, like there was, I didn't need to resolve the conflict because it's just no longer relevant to me, right? Like I'm not going to find myself in any of those situations again. I'm a grown woman, I'm married, have a very like healthy sexual dynamic. There's no time where I'm like unable to express my my sexual response, you know. So these are all of the stories. And let me just see if anything else I want to say. Yeah, I guess just that I hope that they inspire like this, what I have really found to work for me is this spirit of like play and curiosity, and like, this is a game, you know, and you're going to find the key, you will. And it's just, it might come to you in like the randomest of moments. And also to not necessarily be looking, I mean, obviously it's worth considering, but none of my conflicts have really been like, at any moment that as an adult I've like looked back on or thought about as trauma at all, you know, especially not like big T trauma. These were all just like, you know, little acute, like that I would have experienced as highly acute moments as a girl. When I mean, pretty much all of these things happened when I was 13, which is also interesting because I, or 12 and a half, 13, like I'm essentially like exactly double that age is when I've been resolving all the conflicts. But yeah, just to, you know, a lot of people think they don't remember the moments that they need to know. And what I've found, you know, from talking to a lot of people now and helping people find their conflicts is like, it actually most often people do know the memories. They just have never thought to connect them, right? And so it does take a certain amount of like thinking, learning to think biologically, and also having just heard enough, kind of having this like massive catalog of testimonials and other people's stories, so that you can, that just spark your ability to look through your own past and and find the conflict shocks. And yeah, so if you, you know, you're someone who has been receiving endless body work for years, nothing's resolving it, you know, really ask yourself the question, like, when did it start? Exactly, when do I remember it starting? And for me, like that question, it didn't help me, but it might help you. Like, it didn't help me because I didn't remember exactly when it started. If you had asked me 9 months ago, there's no way I would have told you that it started when I was 13. But some people, you know, if your chronic pain has started as an adult, you remember, oh, it started, you know, that year, this month. So that's very, very helpful information because you need to know what happened then. But then, you know, really, really paying attention. When does pain come? When does it go? What is the difference between those situations? And then also continuing always to learn more about German New Medicine, and to read stories, because this is how you're going to like make the connections, you know, and just trusting that at some point there will be just these beautiful, glorious aha moments, where everything resolves just so beautifully, and you're free. And not only are you free, but you're free of the symptoms, free of the pain, but with such a beautiful experience of the five biological laws and how just amazing and perfect and sensible all of our biological adaptations are when we understand them in the full picture. So yeah, I think I'll leave it there.